Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another special episode of The Hanging Tender. I am Sadiq, otherwise known as a Nigerian cowboy. And today we have with us special guests, Dave and Don of Twining Tree Farms. Did I get that right?
You did. You got it right. Mm-hmm. Do we hold it?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's that part, right? No, you're all right. So today I am standing right here at the establishment here in beautiful Mathis, and it's a wonderful refurbishment of this building. And I just wanted to get a little background about both of y'all. So we'll begin with you, Don. Don, how did you get into making sourdough?
Well, during the pandemic, I was teaching English. I was teaching high school English. And so we had a lot of time on our hands once school shut down. So I started playing with making a sourdough starter. So I had a friend in Florida who was making a sourdough starter from scratch. So we did it kind of long distance. I started making bread. I started sharing the bread that I was making on social media, and then people started asking if they could buy the bread. So we were selling eggs at the time, and so we kind of had a little bit of a customer base.
Okay.
And so then they started wanting bread, and so that started turning into a weekly and delivery. Yeah, so I was still teaching, so we would bake on the weekends and deliver to people that had ordered.
Oh, wow.
And so then it just sort of kept growing and growing and growing, to the point where it took over our lives. And so then I had to decide whether I was going to keep teaching or do this full time.
Yeah. And for you, Dave, I'm presuming it's the same.
Around the same time. I never got into sourdough.
So you don't, but do you know how to make any of the sourdough stuff?
No.
Bro, I'm like you, man. I got one of the starters, wanted to taste, and I think I killed it.
Yeah. Well, I know how to make starter.
Yes.
Okay.
I used to make jars and jars of starter for Don. Yeah. But
yeah,
I'd say that it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, this is...
I can eat it, though.
Oh, I can definitely eat...
Wait.
The starter or the sourdough?
The sour.
Okay, I was about to say. I mean, that is a different level of, yeah. Of commitment.
Yeah.
You shouldn't eat the starter.
So you said that you were selling eggs before?
Yeah, we have chickens, and so we were selling eggs. And then
do y'all still sell eggs? Or no?
No.
Okay. So just full-time sourdough?
No,
yes.
Yeah.
No time for anything else.
Yeah. 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 So this was a COVID hobby that turned into a business. I got to say, during COVID, I also got into a bad habit. I started drinking coffee. I never drank coffee before, but I started drinking coffee in 2020. And right now, I only get about 4 hours of sleep a day.
Because you're on the coffee now.
Yeah. I think it's a bad... Anyhow, but yours is a good... It's a better COVID thing to do. So why? So you said, how did you arrive at the sourdough thing? Was it that your friend in Florida was doing it as well, or?
Yeah. So she is the one that got me into it. I honestly felt like it was out of the realm of possibility for me.
Yeah.
In terms of, it just seemed too complicated. I like baking. I would bake different things, but sourdough seemed intimidating to me.
Yeah.
But since she was doing it in Florida, I felt like it would be something fun. And so you created the sourdough starter. You fed it a little bit every day. We would send pictures back and forth to each other. And then I accidentally killed my starter. So I can relate to the killing of the starter. So she actually dehydrated hers and sent it through the mail. And so that's where my...
Wait, you can dehydrate it?
Oh, yeah. If you dehydrate it, it will live on indefinitely.
Oh, wow.
You can rehydrate it, bring it back to life by feeding it water and flour, and it will come back to life.
You are giving me business ideas for Nigeria, but moving on. So what do you feed it? When you say feed it, maybe this is why I killed it, because after a while, I decided to Google, maybe you're supposed to feed it.
Yes, you have to feed it. It is a living organism, so you have to feed it flour and water.
Okay.
And so there's, you got to feed it enough, and you've got to feed it often enough.
And you have to name it.
Oh, yes, it's a good idea to name it.
Why? Because,
well, if you name it, then you're like, I think you're more invested in it.
And it's scarier too. It can come for you at night.
It can escape out of there.
This sounds like a Halloween narrative. I'm not sure about this.
But yes, you have to. If you don't feed it, it will die.
Okay.
Because it's a living organism that has to be maintained.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that? When was it that you decided, oh, we want to actually just transition from this being hobby to business?
Well, since I was teaching, it kind of, that was our timeline. So it was like, I think I did it for a couple years teaching. And then once it got to the end of one of those school years, we thought, okay, we have to decide. Because it was basically, we reached the limits of how much I could do on a weekend.
Yeah.
So we either, and really probably past that limit. I mean, something had to give.
Right.
And what was giving was the teaching. I was definitely not giving that my passion. That's just not where my attention was. So we had to make the decision of, do I not renew my contract? And so we did, and basically just hoped for the best. Yeah. We always communicate with our customers through social media and share that kind of personal news with them. Yeah. Cause I think, I don't know, I like knowing that about businesses, that it encourages me to support them more.
Right. Right. And for you, Dave, you are also a teacher, right?
Say that.
You were also a teacher.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he jumped off the cliff too.
And you just
well, once we got pregnant, you know, our entire house was a bakery.
Yeah.
When she was baking at home, because we were baking out of our home and out of our garage.
Oh man.
And so then we got pregnant with Eli.
Yeah.
And
we knew we had to get the bakery
out. Yeah, we had to get the bakery out of there. So because now it's went from bakery to nursery, you know, basically.
Yeah.
And so we had to get a place here. So we found this place and refurbished it and opened up. And it's going well enough where I was able to leave the university and start
here.
And be a full-time dad and a part-time gopher for the bakery.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to, my future dream is to be a stay-at-home dad.
It's beautiful. I love it.
No, but you're still working. That's the
working. You know, I mean,
I just don't want to do anything.
Oh well, that's not stay-at-home dad then. You know, don't be a stay-at-home dad if you don't want to.
You want to be a stay-at-home husband.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yes.
A kept man.
Okay.
A kept man, stay-at-home husband.
If anyone from
you don't need a kid for either,
right? If anyone from Nigeria hears this, they're gonna think I'm the worst human being ever.
So
and
then we got this place, and so now we're both retired teachers and we're self-employed.
Yeah,
I mean, we're not retired.
We're former teachers.
Thank you.
There you go. That's the better. Former. The better language. So. How scary was it to dive into starting your own business?
Terrible.
I mean, obviously you like built the like a little bit of a following with the with making it with the eggs, making it a little batches, and then like to scale to be able to start selling.
Don is a machine. and she works so many hours, baking every week. And so the problem we're having and have had since we got started is that we keep running up against the limit of what we have room to make.
Yeah, capacity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have been real fortunate in that we built the business from scratch and so slowly over the past few years that it's paid for itself,
basically. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So there was no, like, huge business loans. There's no...
Right.
So there's that level of not, you know, that takes a lot of the anxiety out. But also, our livelihoods depend on if we can succeed here.
Succeed or not.
So that's really scary. And also, you know, as former teachers, we are not small business owners. So that's a whole... There's so many things that we don't know.
Yeah.
Like Dave's really good about telling me, like, yeah, you don't know, but you will.
Yeah.
And so you just...
Just
keep going.
Yeah.
And
that's the amen from Eli. Yeah. So I mean, I always wanted to open up a business. I just didn't know particularly what type of business. Predominantly more so in Nigeria, not in America, because I just realized like the amount of the capital expenditure that it takes to open up a business here, like the emotional toll and everything. It's just like,
Well, you asked if it was scary or not.
Yeah.
And it was scary for Don.
Yeah.
But my point was, is that because of the way that we built the business, there hasn't been a lot of, like, when we jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
We had a fairly decent parachute.
Right.
So we already had the business going, so we weren't quitting our jobs and this starting.
We already had transition.
So it was kind of a slow transition. So it wasn't like as traumatic as it could have been.
Yeah.
You know.
So I've had some of the sourdough bread.
No kid.
Yes. I've had some of this and it's very good. I mean, I
say thanks for not.
Yeah. It is very good. I'm personally not, like, I tell people that come into the shop all the time, I'm not a bread guy. I didn't grow up eating bread. My mom used to try to give me bread when I was a young kid. I just didn't particularly care for bread. But maybe I have like a lot of issues I need to work through. Because she would like put bread and like avocado on it and she would feed me. And now people are like paying $5-7 for that. I mean, but every time I eat that, I eat the whole thing in one sitting. I cannot. It is very good bread, I have to say.
Thank you.
And not just because y'all standing here. Y'all can go to my house. The bags don't last more than 3 days.
You're not.
Is that an invitation?
You're always welcome to my house. You're always welcome to my house if you can make that drive.
Yes. But yeah, you're not alone. A lot of people will eat it in a sitting.
In a sitting, yeah. So how do you decide, I'm going to make this? Because when I first started seeing the bread was just the plain ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so how did you start going into the jalapeno cheddar and the...
I think pickle? Everything we've made has been stuff that we wanted to eat or try. So like jalapeno cheddar, we love jalapeno cheddar things.
Yeah.
And so we experimented with that. And when now they're all on the menu, but when they came out, it was one at a time.
Right.
So like we introduced, I think at one point we wanted to have like a new loaf a month or something. And, but everything's been, basically tested from what we eat at home. And then we decide if we feel like it's something that other people might like. We also have a family and friends that try things and let us know what they think. Customers let us know what they think. We haven't come up with a new bread in a while. Probably need to come up with something.
No, I think the ones y'all got is very, very good. I cannot say it's great. Like the bagels as well. Y'all have bagels, and bagels like one of my favorite things. I eat a lot of bagels.
Yes, and they're real sour. They're real sourdough bagels, so they're fermented and easier for your body to digest, and not filled with a bunch of garbage.
That is true.
Yeah,
you can actually taste the difference. There's not that, like, that's not very clean eating.
That also means you have to eat it quickly or freeze it, which is something that we've, you know, we try to educate customers because we're all used to having fake bread that lasts for
forever.
Month.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can look at a loaf of bread from the store and it will last for way too long.
Yeah.
But we try to, you know, we give information to customers about freezing bread and freezing bagels, because really that's the best way to...
Yeah, to preserve it. I've had so many people come into the show. I was like, I didn't even know you could do that, but I just thought about it. I was like, but I could throw in the freezer. So I have thrown in the freezer a couple of times when I wasn't going to eat it.
I thought you said you ate the whole thing in one sitting.
Well, whenever I have
once it. Once he starts.
Yeah, once I start.
Once it touches the lip.
Oh, yeah. It's not going back into the fridge. Bro, once that bag is open, it's open. Thank you, Don.
But you're ready for it.
Yes. Yeah. So it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't last too long. But you have... You can throw it in the fridge. Then I throw it in the oven just to reheat it. Or sometimes I kind of put water over it just a little bit, you know. So is that what you're supposed to do? I didn't even know.
If you have a whole loaf, then yeah, if you let it defrost and then run it under your faucet, which is crazy. So you get it wet, not like, you know, don't just like
leave
it there. Yeah. Run it under and then pop it in the oven. What is it, 375 or 400 for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It's going to rehydrate it and fluff it back up to like a new like loaf a fresh of bread.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you were talking about the no additives and whatnot. Right. I remember in Nigeria, we had this type of bread that they would have, and they would put a lot of bromate in it, and it would kind of be like fluffy bread. It's kind of like equivalent to the Hawaiian bread, whatever. It's kind of very, but it's like, people love that stuff. But it's like, that thing would last like that for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Chock full of...
Yeah.
I'm just like...
Yeah. So how did you choose that? This was like the type of food culture you wanted to like cultivate, essentially, if I'm using my term.
Well, one thing we knew we wanted to stick with was just sourdough only, because I think, that was just the niche that we wanted to fill, because I think... You can make anything sourdough. I think a lot of people tend to think you can only have sourdough, like a loaf of bread right? But we make focaccia and cakes and bagels and cinnamon rolls. And really, the sky is, or whatever is the limit. I mean, there's no limit on what you can make.
Which guy?
With sourdough. I said the sky.
Yeah, which one?
The sky. Oh, this guy. The sky is the limit. I missed it. Right over my head.
The one above us.
Yes.
Some say it's not a limit. And some say we didn't cross it either. So moving on.
There's no limit to sourdough.
There's no limit to sourdough.
This is the flatbread society.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How do you know it's not flat? moving on. Dang, derailing this.
Sorry.
But so moving from sourdough to having your customer base to start to now distribute, do you deliver everywhere yourselves?
We have a radius, so... Well, I think it's based on zip codes now, but basically Mathis down towards Corpus, over into Portland, all of Cal Allen, the island.
Up in Beeville and
I think
George West even.
I think those are still on there. So we have a big, big area that we deliver to on Wednesdays, but Dave and I are not.
The ones that, right.
We have an employee who comes and picks up the orders and delivers them on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Okay.
But back in the day, when I finished baking, I would go deliver everything. And it was or we would split it because we had so many orders that we had to both go.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it used to be a very long Sunday. Did we deliver on Sundays?
I feel like Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, were y'all originally from Mathis?
No, I grew up in Corpus, but Dave is from the world.
From the world? Child of the world. Child of the world. Where are you from?
Kenya.
Yeah. Are you Maasai or no?
Do I look Maasai?
You could, you know.
I'm almost as black as you.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. So?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. So you, originally you were...
I was born in Kenya, until I was 12.
And then you moved back to the States.
And moved around Texas since we came
back. Oh, so but predominantly Texas?
Only Texas.
Okay.
I would say there was St. Louis for a year or 6 months or something.
Okay. Like
but
Cool. So you just Texas guy.
I guess so.
Yeah, nice. I mean, so what is it that you, is there something that you still remember about Kenya? No.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of idealized memories, I think, of it was like growing up. When you're a kid, you don't notice the poverty or the way that you do when you're an adult.
Or like societal issues.
Well, when I finished my PhD, my mom wanted to send me as a gift, to send me back to Kenya for a few weeks and let me, do safaris and relive or see things
nostalgia.
I couldn't go because I have these idealized memories and I think if I were to go back it would be so different
after
30 plus years 40 years that I wouldn't recognize it, and I would that ideal sort of these childhood, warm, sunny memories that you have. They would be. I feel like those are some of the memories I like having.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Fair. Yeah.
Back them,
Yeah. You don't want to change them a little bit. Yeah. I have the same. Like, I mean, obviously, I grew up in Nigeria. I moved here probably like 10 years ago, and I still have idealized things about Nigeria, but I think I'm more pessimistic about a lot of things about Nigeria. But still, it still like pushes me to want to go back to maybe see if I can change, because obviously that's home. That's where
investment. Like,
exactly. Right. Yeah, I have more of emotional investment, maybe familial as well. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Texas is coming close, I gotta tell you.
To what?
To like
having to being home.
Yeah, very close. Because when I tell everyone about the places that I live here in the States, everyone is like very surprised. They're like wondering like, why aren't you living in a big city? Why aren't you? I'm like, I was like, have you paid rent in a big city?
Right, exactly.
you
went the opposite of that.
Yeah, I'm running away from that.
Yeah. Saying that's why we ended up in Mathis.
Yeah. So what was your, as a child, what was your favorite thing to eat?
Ugali and sukuma wiki.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's like a cornmeal. Man, I can only say cornmeal lump.
Okay.
It's cooked cornmeal, and then the sukuma wiki is like a cabbage, and mix it with meat.
And then you eat it.
And then you take a chunk of the ugali and grab
sukuma
wiki and shove it all in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like something similar we have in Nigeria, especially in northern Nigeria, we call it tuwo, and they use like semolina.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like different soups to go with it as well.
Right. And it's just a lump, and you burn your fingers. You burn your fingers eating it, but
in a food coma.
And then, and it's like a film of like semolina.
Yeah, right.
On your fingers.
Right.
Exactly.
But now people use semolina to make like pasta and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well,
cool. How about you, Don? What was your favorite thing to eat as a child?
I grew up with a Southern mother, so probably chicken.
Ketchup.
Probably chicken and dumplings. Yeah, pretty like Southern comfort.
Yeah. You know, something that's wild, you just said chicken and dumplings. My college roommates are from Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
And so in college, we were all broke. So they would make like dumplings. So the majority of our food would just be dumplings. But like they would make
they like filled dumplings?
No.
Oh, just a filled dumpling.
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, I think I've had enough dumplings to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, too. Obviously they taught me a lot of stuff. Like even at the shop, I have like a blend of a Nigerian spice with a jerk season, and that's like kind of from them as well.
Oh, cool.
You know, so yeah, I did learn a lot of that. So, but just dumplings growing up?
Well, it's chicken and dumplings.
Chicken.
So you boil a chicken, debone it, and then you make the dumpling. So my mom, it's like a flour, salt, chicken broth mixture. It's like a shaggy dough that she rolls out, and then she cuts it into basically noodles.
Okay.
And then it goes into the boiling broth. I've actually never made
it. Okay.
But she's shown me. But that's always been my favorite.
Yeah.
So
were you much of a cook growing up, or like baking and stuff like that?
I like to bake. I know I used to always help my mom make my dad's birthday cake, and I was always interested in baking, cooking. Not that I recall. I mean, I've always enjoyed cooking, but baking was always the fun, more fun thing to do. Yeah.
And now you spend all your time baking bread.
But I never made bread growing up that I can recall anyway. I know I made bread a while back before I made sourdough, but I don't think I ever dabbled in bread making when I was younger, or at least not that I recall. I feel like my mom would have.
We used to have, we used to make bread every.
Oh, yeah.
We used to bag up the ingredients and then make a loaf of white bread. Yeah, it was with commercial yeast.
Well, so what is the difference?
Oh, geez. We're going to.
Please do.
No, commercial yeast is great. It's very strong. It's shelf stable. It's intended to rise your bread super quick, super consistently.
Okay.
It was created in the, late 1800s. I could be wrong. Maybe it was early. But prior to the creation of commercial shelf stable yeast, you had sourdough. Everything was sourdough. You had to have a yeast culture to make bread.
Okay.
So it's all good and well, and it makes great, quick, consistent bread, but it's also harder on your gut because things go more quickly. So bread is supposed to take time. That time allows the grains to break down so that your body can actually digest all of the minerals and vitamins. Okay. Otherwise, your body literally cannot get the nutrients out of the bread that you're eating because it hasn't had the time. So that's the main difference is the speed and consistency. But what you lose with that speed and consistency is the health benefits, which I think there's a lot behind that. I think sometimes you lose the good stuff when you try to go too quickly.
Yeah.
And that's definitely the case with sourdough.
I think that's a lesson for life too. You lose too much if you try to go quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. I think one day I'm gonna have to learn how to make sourdough.
Well, we teach a workshop. Workshop?
When do you teach this workshop?
We do them usually one Sunday a month. It's here at the bakery, and it's 4 hours, and you take home a sourdough starter. You learn how to make a loaf of bread. You bake a loaf of bread, and you take a loaf home to bake at home, and you take home a guide. But you basically go through the whole process while you're here, and then take it home and
make it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is actually fascinating. So around what times do you do the classes?
Usually they're 12 to 4. The one that's in March is from 1 to 5, because I've had a few people mention that noon is difficult to get to on a Sunday. So I pushed the one in March to 1 o'clock. But they're always on Sundays because that's my day off. And we used to do them at Bori, actually.
Yes. Now you say that, I do remember that. Yes.
We should say Bori has been.
Yeah.
Sue, Nathan and Ursula have been super supportive of us.
Yeah.
You too, Sadiq.
Why? Thank you, Dave. Yeah. But I don't know
from when we first started selling bread.
Yeah.
At a table there.
Yeah.
Well, and all I did when I knew that I was leaving teaching, I think, is when we started at Bori, because I just reached out to him like. Cold call.
Yeah.
Hey, I think because they were just opening.
Right.
And I said, your business looks really awesome. If you'd ever consider letting us pop up, like, let me know. And he sent me his contact information and said, anytime. And he
invented
anytime. I mean, it was a weekly thing.
He let us sell there. And then as soon as we had a legal kitchen, he was our first person to want. He wanted us to provide bread.
Yeah.
And he's our. our biggest supporter, I would say.
Yeah.
He's believed in us since we were.
You too, Sydney.
This has nothing to do with me, but I do like eating the bread. I mean,
it has everything to do.
One of the times, because I like crashed at their house a lot. And so, like, the one morning, like, he wakes up and he just, like, had a kick to make like a French toast, and he made it with the sourdough.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this thing is so good. Mm-hmm. Like, it is delicious.
Good sourdough.
Oh, man.
Good French toast.
Yeah. Oh, it's and also good just to eat by it.
Yes. But for French toast, it actually absorbs all of the goodness without falling apart or becoming like a smushy mess. Yeah.
You know something? Also, I have cooked like that Nigerian jerk chicken that I make in stock. Or like the beef pepper chicken I also make, and I just don't have anything else. I have the sourdough bread, and I just eat it with that.
Yeah.
It's so good. It absorbs all of it. I don't, probably I'm not going to recommend people to do that. Yeah, but I'm just lazy.
Man,
like
I should
that.
Eat lunch. I'm hungry now.
I am just lazy like that. So like throughout the whole process of all of this, what is like the number one thing you learn about starting a business?
It one thing is it doesn't happen as quickly as you hope it might a lot of the time. I mean, I think a lot of people start selling whatever and think that this is how it is now.
Yeah.
But it takes time to build a business and to build a customer base and, so it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of planning and a lot of.
So it's not just the logo.
No. I mean, logo is nice and everything, nice, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't think we had a logo for 2 or 3 years.
Right. And then we had a logo before we ever had a storefront or anything.
But yeah, I mean, it
takes time.
It takes time. Yeah. It's never as smooth a process as. Yeah. As you,
but compared to when you were working for somebody else, what is that?
It has been an adjustment. I think I've always worked for someone. I've never worked for myself.
Yeah.
So, learning that you're the one setting the pace, or honestly, the dough is setting the pace, but, learning that you're the one that's going to make the balance. Nobody's going to make a balance for you. Yeah. Or you're the one that's going to have to hire help so that you can get some balance back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure to show up all the time it's me. If I'm not here making dough, there's no bread.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like owning a business is where I should be, because I had that mentality of always showing up 100% with any job I had.
Yeah.
And with teaching, that is not a sustainable attitude to have. And so I feel like now that my energy is focused towards something that we're building, it feels more worthwhile.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of pressure, but I feel like, you know, if you're going to work hard and put in long hours, it feels better when you're doing it for yourself and your family directly.
You're right. Right.
But I still don't think I've fully shaken the mental sort of, I feel like I still have a boss. I don't know. I don't know when that's going to go away. Cause I'll be stressed. Like, and I'm behind, and Dave's like, you know, who said you're behind? Like, you're saying that, right?
Yeah.
Like, but who met the schedule?
You're right.
Yeah. So I think it's a learning process for me. Dave's very good at reminding me.
That's a survival move on my part.
Well,
to be fair,
it's self-preservation.
Yes, exactly.
It's not altruism. Yeah.
I mean, I want her to be able to sort of enjoy what she's been able to build, but I also want her to be able to enjoy it and not just acknowledge it, but to be able to be in the moment,
present,
sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawn's a warrior.
Yes. I have a lot of worry and anxiousness always.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to pair with owning a business, but I think it really helps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, I mean, I couldn't do all of this without him in a very practical way, but also in a mental load.
Yeah.
Way.
Right.
I'm a, yeah, there's many things that Dave takes care of that if he wasn't, then Don's a mess.
My job is safe.
That's true.
For a little bit.
For now.
For now. But yes, I do. Again, that's a bit belabor the point about business ownership, but like seeing even because like the one of the only people I've been able to see up close and personal is like Nathan and Ursula, mm-hmm. when because of Bori. But like it's for me, I'm just like thinking about all the things you have to do, and again, like you said, it lives and it dies on what you right. do.
There's nobody right?
That's
coming.
Nobody else. Yeah, no one else is coming to save you. You don't have any.
That's the scary part.
That is the exactly, you know?
And some days you're like, who left me in charge? But I mean, and I think everybody must, I assume everybody feels that to a degree.
Yeah.
You hear about imposter syndrome everywhere.
Right. Right. I have one of my professors, every time I talk to her, she just feels like she's like she doesn't know what she's doing there.
Yeah.
You know, like why
imposter syndrome.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. She just doesn't feel, you know, I'm just like, you know, if you're not doing that, who's gonna do it?
You know? Well, and it's a matter of convincing yourself. And that I don't like the term fake it till you make it, because you're not faking
it. Right, right.
You're just like, who put me here? Like or trying to, you know, come into your own new identity, or you know, accepting those new parts of yourself. And I think it's a matter of feeling like you don't know everything, but you're never gonna
know. Yeah, never gonna know everything.
Ever.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry. For us non-flat
mortals.
For us non-flat flat bread people, you know, this is oh man, he's just going out. He's that kid is growing. So, what advice would you give somebody that is trying to start a business?
The Del Mar College Small Business Development Center is an awesome resource.
Okay.
They can help you with everything from like fleshing out your idea to a business plan to finding if you're looking for financial, you know, loans or grants. Right. Or I mean, all of that.
Wow.
And it's a completely free resource. Huh. So definitely reach out to them. If your city has an economic development center corporation, what's it called? The Mathis
Commission.
The C stands for something, but it's about economic development.
Okay.
The commission.
Commission. Okay.
Okay.
But they were very helpful with the local sort of part of it. So I don't know if Corpus has something okay. like that. But the Del Mar small business people are yeah. fantastic.
I know that's a downtown, like a downtown
okay.
fund that they have for
yeah.
starting business down. So but I'm not sure if it's like across the whole city.
It might just be like yeah. that area. Yeah. So I think that using your resources, recognizing that feeling of like, I don't know what I'm doing, unless you have a degree in business, maybe you do know what you're doing. Is normal. And you just have to ask people, you have to, you know, use your resources,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to know everything all at once. And I've just learned that you don't know until you
yeah,
sit down and learn that piece.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that would be my best advice.
So find local resources and mm-hmm. use your local resources.
And like Dave said, it's not going to happen overnight. Consistency is what's going to set you apart from somebody else that has an idea.
Yeah.
Versus somebody who's going to,
yeah.
you know, be able, yeah.
Something else I was just thinking of is that, you know, one of Bori's, one of the best things about that place, is,
yeah.
about Nathan and Ursula is how committed they are to supporting other local vendors.
Yeah.
And it's not for them. It's not about having a getting business and taking it away from anybody else or anything like that.
Right.
About
right.
supporting the local community in different ways, like they have us. And that has been a lesson that we learned from them as well. And the benefit to the business itself. And to us too, in a more like existential way, maybe, but in terms of like supporting the local businesses and when you do that, those businesses support you back. And it builds a community.
Yeah.
And it's about community.
Yeah,
it's not just about like, making money.
Right. Right.
I mean, that, of course, you're
the right. Business, that's what you're byproduct. Trying to do. Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the byproducts of that is building community and getting to know other people in town. And, so it's,
Yeah, definitely. I know just standing in that shop a couple of times, just like amount of people that you meet and a lot of people that are trying to even inspire to start businesses or whatever. And they're like, oh, can we sell stuff in your shop? Can we sell like stuff in this? Can we do this? And I'm just like,
and we took that model from Bore too.
Yeah.
And in fact, are selling other people's stuff.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Because we like that idea of people being able to come and access other local businesses.
Yeah.
By coming here.
Right. Yeah. And I think for a lot of times we have forgotten, we've given up communities have this as well, given up for the sake of convenience. They want to support like local, like, you know, families that are right within your vicinity that are given, this is their livelihood, you know? So I think getting back to some of that kind of community aspect, as you say, is I think it's crucial to all of our to our shared experiences within this local region as well. So I think that is a great great thing.
Preach it.
Okay.
Preach it, Brother Sadiq.
That is not happening.
It's too late.
It's too late.
You did not hear your whole monologue here for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes has been a sermon, my friend.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we'll go with
that. You're in the right business.
Don't let my bosses hear that.
Which boss were you talking about now?
Okay, moving on.
He hears it.
He does.
And I'm not talking about Nathan.
Nathan, I know. So as we round up, another thing I would like to just ask you about is, if you could do it all over again, would you?
For sure.
Yes.
How has this changed you as a person? Like this whole process of going to having like an idea is a short space of time, like less than 5 years, you know, like going from concept to implementing, to getting a place, to like scaling that fast. That is something only artificial intelligence companies do. They spend billions to do that too.
I think I was really unhappy teaching. So for me, I feel like what I do every day is I'm actually living this dream life that I thought was totally a possibility.
Yeah.
So I would absolutely do it again because I feel like it rescued me from I didn't know what else I was going to do other than teach a master's in English. I mean, I was just felt like I was sort of trapped in that. And so now Dave can also not be teaching. I feel like we have a chance to do what a lot of people only like wish they could do or hope they could do. So what do you think?
What she said.
It's hard though. It's a lot. But
I mean, it's changing your identity in a lot of ways, you know.
It changed a lot of the like convictions you had before about life or about work.
I think both of us are, I don't know, less tied to any one specific idea of what the future might look like.
Okay.
Right. That's
well. It's a little more freeing.
And neither one of us is afraid of throwing the towel in and trying
something else.
And I think I don't know that we would have.
I personally want to be an alligator wrestler. That's my next.
Oh, if like
this doesn't work out.
Like the Bundy guy, what was his name?
The Bundy guy.
Not the Bundy guy. No, not the Bundy guy.
Totally.
Like, the guy from Australia. The guy that used to...
Oh, Steve Irwin.
Hey, sorry. I don't...
The Bundy guy.
Okay, don't stick to Uncle Ted. I mean... Bundy. Bundy. Moving on.
What have we gotten ourselves?
All right. This is how you get deplatformed. Yeah. Bundy guy. I'm from Nigeria. I don't know what any of these words mean.
Yeah, right. I don't even speak English.
I don't speak English. It's my fourth language. Let's move on. So, Dave, Don, really appreciate y'all taking the time to come on the Hanging Tender. I really appreciate y'all giving us all the goods to sell at the shop. I got to tell you, the look on disappointment on people's faces whenever we're out. It is crazy to be like, people, you have such a big following, and I think it's because y'all really take that, you took the passion and put your love into it, and you just, and people definitely can feel that. So I have, every time we don't have any at the shop, people are so disappointed, and I'm like, well, that's a good thing.
That makes disappointment.
Do you know that somebody came to the farmer's market a couple months ago,
okay,
and asks how much bread Bori sells us to sell at the farmer market?
No way.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at
that. No, it's funny.
It's funny. I was like, no, it's the other way around.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
We know.
It was pretty funny. Yeah.
that is funny.
I hate to disappoint, but that also warms my heart.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that just shows people will come back for something if they know it's quality and if it's consistent. Yeah, right.
We will never sell something that does not pass the Dawn Bar, which is a bar that's probably
too high. Like that.
But I'm not going to sell a product that isn't what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Ever.
Awesome. Well, thank you for your time. It's been my honor and my pleasure to hang out with y'all for just a few minutes. Yeah. Hopefully we should do this again. We have newer flavors of your bread and the classes. And where can people...
Yes.
And where can people find you?
They can go to our website, which is twiningtreefarm.com. And then we're also on Instagram and Facebook under Twining Tree Farm.
Twining.
And that's twining with one N.
Not two people.
No. Exactly.
And on that note, all of y'all, thank you so much for listening to this special episode. And please like, share, subscribe. Follow Dave and Don, and keep supporting them. Support local, support local, support local. And we will talk to you on the next one. Thank you.
Has been exclusively brought to you by Bori, the meat market, 817 South Staples, here in beautiful Corpus Christi. I have been the Nigerian cowboy. I appreciate Dave and Don from Twining Tree Farms for joining us on this episode. Look forward to having more guests on this show. And the music has been produced by Jello Shot, otherwise known as Carlos Cooper. You can find his handle at Jello Shot on Instagram if you want him to make music for you, or if you want to collaborate with him on something. Please do reach out to him. And if you also want to buy records from him, it's Hybrid Records on People's Street. And, you know, this is just a show about locals supporting locals, and it has been my honor. I appreciate you listening to this episode. Please like, share, comment, leave us a review. If you don't leave us a review, you know, it would probably hurt my feelings, and I would have to go see a therapist. And if I see a therapist, then it would cost me money, or it would cost my employers money. I don't know how that works. Or just wrestle with it that you listened to the episode and you did not leave a comment on your favorite podcast in the whole wide world. Again, thank you, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.